You're listening to the Home Base Podcast. So this week I brought in a dad so that we could get an awesome look at the difference between the mom and dad's perspective. It's really fun, guys. You got to take a listen to this one. Hey there, all you podcast listeners. So this week we have quite the treat. It's not just me sitting over here in my lonely podcasting corner, but we have our very first official Home Base Podcast special guest. It's quite exciting, and we're going to reveal who the special guest here is in a second. But last week, we took a wonderful dive and talked about some very personal and deep stuff that every parent probably goes through and struggles with at some point. We talked about identity crisis and losing your identity once you become a parent. And I spoke mainly to the mothers in the audience just because I wasn't going to be all pompous know-it-all and pretend to like I knew what it was like for dads. So this week I brought in a dad because we need to get the dad's opinions and perspectives on here too. So very exciting this week, our first official dad, my baby daddy, my lovely husband Graham. Say hi, Graham.
Hey, everybody.
He's so excited and thrilled to be here. And I know, it's so cute. My spouse is my first official guest. But, you know, you always have your spouse on first because they're your guinea pigs. You know, you don't want to mess up with someone really important, right? He's just going to sit here and look at me. We're off to a kicking great start. Oh, my goodness. So, let's get this started. So, Daddy Graham.
Thought there was music at some point.
Oh. You're so cute. Oh, we're going to have to do so much editing to this episode. It's not even funny. Alrighty. Okay, so we're going to kick in some music just to make Graham feel better. So we'll be back. Enjoy this music. Everybody, we're back. We're official now. We have beverages. I took a sip of my wine. Graham went and got him some water so he can feel important sipping his water later when he has that really dry throat because he's doing so much talking.
That's right.
Okay, so Daddy Graham, first tell us a little bit about you. Tell the lovely people out there, the awesome listeners, they need to know who you are.
Man. How much time do they have?
Okay, well, we try to keep it under an hour, so. And I have questions, so factor that in here.
My name is Graham. I am a mailman for the post office, which is not as exciting as it seems. I'm a meteorology major at the School of Mississippi State, Hale State. That's it. That's me, literally.
Go Bulldogs.
I said Hale State, so.
Oh, sorry.
I already got them, the shout out.
Okay, well, I don't know all this awesomeness, so I'm going to say it. Go Bulldogs.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's almost football season.
Represent. Alrighty. Okay. How old are you?
I'm 26, as are you.
That's right. Same age. Not adorable.
No.
So, how is daddyhood? Let's start there. How is being a dad?
I love being a dad.
Okay, don't be so boring. Like, come on, what is it like being a dad? If you could sum it all up into, like, one phrase or word, what would you hashtag daddyhood as?
Limiting it to one word is kind of silly.
Okay, well, give us a couple. Look at all this dead space I'm going to have to edit out here. You're killing me.
It's a challenge. It's rewarding.
All right, so hashtag challenge, hashtag rewarding. That's a good, let's just kind of stop you there because that is a good segue into what we're going to cover. So being a dad, what is the biggest challenge? What has been the biggest challenge you've had to deal with so far that maybe you weren't expecting?
There's been numerous challenges. One is obviously at the beginning, the lack of sleep, and that's still something that sometimes gets me. Working a full-time job and staying up with a kid at night can it pulls on you physically. Another big thing is learning to let him cry. When you hear your kid cry, you obviously want to fix whatever issue they're having, but sometimes it's good to just let them cry, and that's a difficult thing to hear and be able to continue to work through.
I was really surprised because I thought that was going to be harder for me, being the mom, and how we're so, me and our son are so physically connected, seeming how we have, you know, came from the same person. I really felt like that was going to be harder for me, but it's really, I think, been harder for you, which I think is interesting. Slash kind of refreshing. I think it's kind of nice to see that there's dads out there that have some feelings.
So. I have feelings, that is correct.
Go, baby. You got some heart. I'm proud of you. So what else has been challenging besides letting him cry it out, which is very hard?
Well, if we're going to go away from just being him, or just talking about him, it's challenging to be at work while he's growing up. You feel like you miss out on a lot. There's some days I'm jealous of you.
Ooh, let's talk about that. That isn't even on my list. See, I'm glad it's coming up. Let's talk about that. Okay. So you get jealous of me. So how do you feel like that's affected our relationship at all?
No.
Good. All right. Do you feel like it could, though, for some people?
Oh, sure.
I mean, I know our marriage is perfect and all, but, no, you know. no, it's not, but...
No, I could see how someone, yeah, if someone's working 50, 60 hours a week, would start to, not resent, but I could see it boiling up some issues, yes.
Maybe get, like, passive-aggressive or something.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. See, some things we... didn't even know that we'd have to deal with. So when you do come home from work, what is that like? Can you kind of speak about that a bit? Because you work almost 7 days a week most weeks, and you work about 60 hours a week, so it's very, very full-time job. What's it like coming home for you?
When I come home, it's not as bad now that he goes to bed at 7 o'clock, but at the same time, that's less time I get to spend with him. There are some days where dealing with him, if he's grouchy, can be frustrating after a long day at work, but it's something I know that needs to be done, seeing as how you've been with him for 12 hours already on a grouchy day. But it's sometimes a little difficult to decompress until 8 or 9 o'clock, and that gets exhausting day after day sometimes.
Yeah, I sometimes wish, just for your sake, you had a little bit more of a drive to work. You literally work like 5 minutes down the road, so you get like no time. You literally get in the car. By the time the car is like starting to feel good with the air conditioning, you're home. And into our awesome little sliver of awesomeness, 8-month-old awesomeness. Mm-hmm. So how am I doing? Well, let's get personal here. How am I doing? Do I put a lot on you when you get home?
I don't think so.
Well, that's good. Good. I'm glad we're getting this all out here. But I feel like that is something that people could do, because it is, I know there's days that I'm like so exhausted because it's like you said, I've been up with him since, you know, 5-6 o'clock in the morning, and like today he took one nap, which for an 8-month-old isn't crazy, but it was only a 40-minute nap, so for I got to shower today is basically was my alone time. And so I feel I try to be respectful when you get home of trying to not dump all over you. But I feel like that is something that a lot of moms or spouses probably do to the working spouses, dump on them when they get home. And I feel like that would probably be hard. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a balance.
It is a balance. It's a partnership, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a partnership. So one thing I wanted to talk about is what you feel... Well, actually, let's back up and let's talk about what do you think the definition of family is? And I have a reason for this, because you hear people when they get pregnant or they're trying to get pregnant, they're like, oh, we're starting a family. What do you think family is?
I think family, in a close-knit sense, is the family that you go home to at the beginning, or that you go home to at the end of the night and wake up with in the morning.
So it doesn't have to include kids. Like, were you and me a family before we had...
I think so, yes. But okay. I could see why someone would disagree.
Yeah. I kind of don't like that. I kind of don't like that people, they, like, look at themselves as a couple, and they're a couple of people that are together and married, but they're not a family until they have kids. I feel like that's an odd concept for me.
Why?
Because I mean, you're my family. You're my world. It's like you said, I wake up and I go to bed with you every night. And so to say that we weren't something until our son came along just seems weird. I mean,
I don't think anybody's saying that they weren't something before. I just think people differentiate. Yes. between being a couple and being a family, especially when you're younger.
Yeah. But, I mean, don't you think it's weird, like, if a couple gets divorced and they don't have any kids, you don't hear them say they broke up a family?
I mean, maybe. I don't really pay attention, or I've been blessed to know a lot of people that have gone through divorce, especially just two single individuals. I mean, to a sense, they are. I mean...
Oh, no, I totally agree. I think they're breaking up a family. I just think it's weird that, like, typical society doesn't really look at a couple as a family until they have offspring.
I mean, family could be seen, I think, in the public eye as at least three or more.
Yeah. So, well, there you go, guys. Our definition of a family is your spouse, you and your spouse. That is the petite definition of family. So if anybody wants to tell you different, you tell them the petite said that we said so. So with that being said, what impact do you think having a child, what impact does having a child have on a family?
Well, it has all sorts of impacts. Are you looking for a particular one?
No, I want them, this is all about getting the men's perspective. I want to see daddy's perspective, so I want to know what you think it impacts.
Well, in a materialistic sense, kids are expensive.
I love that's always the dad's first answer. Money, money, money.
That's, well, it takes away time from a man and his wife. It takes away time from a man and his dudes.
We don't take away any time from you and your dudes. We let you be with your dudes all the time.
I mean, sometimes, sure.
But whatever.
Why are we getting into this on a podcast?
Because it's fun. People like listening to it. It's banter. It's playful banter, guys. Okay. Playful banter. Okay. So, takes away time with your dudes.
Yeah, it's just everything you had, you have less of. But at the same time, you gain things you didn't have before, like a kid.
So, could you say that this is a little bit of an identity crisis for dads? Is there an adjustment period? Was there a period where you had to kind of adjust to this?
I think I'm a good person to answer that.
Why?
I don't think there was.
You don't think there was?
Not for me, no.
There wasn't any kind of, like, adjustment of, like, time. You said, like, less time between you and me. That wasn't at all, like, difficult for you for... I know things have started. Now he's getting a little older and goes to bed earlier. It's gotten a little better for us.
Not really. I don't know. I mean, I was never nervous going into the pregnancy even, so...
I know, you weren't. Why is that? Guys, he was great. I know most of you, if you're listening, you've probably listened to my labor story. If you haven't, you should listen to that episode because it's really great. It's a good story. But this guy was amazing all during my labor, all during our classes we went to. He was just so calm, and I just was completely shocked. And for the labor we had a...
That's tough.
It was a tough day, and it was a long day, 21 hours. It was a tough day, and he was right there the whole time. So why was that so, I don't want to say easy, that's not the right word, but why were you so great? I'm not finding the right word I'm looking for here, but you were just so prepared. Why was that?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like accepting... the fact that you are going to have a kid, as soon as you do that, the rest just kind of falls into place, and I had no trouble accepting the fact. I mean, I wanted a kid eventually, at least one, so, but yeah, I guess I was just ready.
All right, there you go, everybody. Acceptance. But why do you think, because we had so many years, just the two of us? Do you think that's why you were so ready?
No, I don't necessarily think that's why.
We'll delve into that. Why were you so ready? Was it because of your age, where you were in life? I mean, for crying out loud, we were living in, you should have seen our apartment, guys. It was, what, 600 square feet?
It wasn't even that.
It was so, so tiny. So it actually used to be a hotel, our apartment we lived in. And so it was a hotel room, guys. It was a hotel room. And
it was a kitchen.
It had a little tiny kitchen in it. And I mean tiny. You could, it was so small. It was maybe a little
550.
It was like maybe a little 3 foot square was the kitchen. And it didn't have, it had a dishwasher. He's measuring it out here with his hands. It was really small. And it was so tiny. And we were living there. And we found out we were pregnant in Connecticut. And we picked up everything and moved home. I mean, a lot of people would say that that's big, dramatic, huge, life-changing stuff. And you're saying, no big deal.
Yep. I'm not a pansy.
All right. I didn't marry a pansy. That's great. What did I marry? I'm not quite sure some days. Okay. So there was no big adjustment period for you?
Not for me, no.
So outside of the small challenges of less time with me and your friends and less sleep. Those are really the only challenges. Less money. That's it.
I mean, that's all I can think of. If I think of something else, I'll tell you. All
right. You can shout it in. So how have you grown since you've become a dad? And come on, get personal. We want juicy stuff. How do you feel like you've grown?
This is, again, I think I'm going to be in the minority. I don't really feel different.
You don't feel different at
not
all?
Not really.
That's kind of disappointing.
I feel...
How has this not changed you entirely?
I feel, obviously, responsible for Hunter.
Oh, guys, he just name-bombed. I've never given his name on the podcast.
Oops.
All right, I guess it's out there. So our son's name is Hunter.
I feel responsible for him, you know, in every sense of the way, but I don't know. I'm myself around him. I'm myself around you still. Ask me another question.
You're like chewing up and spitting out all my questions I'm giving you, and I thought some of these were pretty meaty. So you don't feel like you've grown at all?
I mean, in a sense, I feel like I've grown, yeah, but I feel, for the most part, I feel the same. I feel like I might have made the growth that most people have when they have a kid. Maybe somehow I made it during the pregnancy and just didn't even notice it, and that's why I was ready.
I think, yeah, that's probably very true. I feel like you kind of really stepped up to the plate while we were pregnant. But I do have to say, guys, he really is a bad example, because this is probably the most patient man I have ever met in my entire life, and that's why I married him. Because if you guys haven't been able to tell from this podcast, you need patience to put up with me all the time. He's sitting here nodding his head. But, like, here's an example. I really feel like since I became a mom, I've grown a lot in the fact that I've developed a lot of patience and kind of go with the flow kind of thing, because my entire life now revolves around this little person that has entire control of my schedule. And so I feel like I've grown that I've been able to let go of things, which you know is really, really difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing like that for you?
Can you play Jeopardy music right here?
Jeopardy music? I don't have the rights to that.
I honestly can't think of anything. I mean, a specific example. I don't think having a kid... Honestly, you know, maybe having a kid has made me a little more impatient at times.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because when you can't figure out what he wants, or if it's something that only mother gets him, it can get kind of frustrating.
Right. I can see that. Do you feel like that's a little unfair?
I mean, it's not unfair. I mean, there's nothing you or him can do about it. My breasts aren't just going to start producing milk.
Well, I mean, there is. We could feed him formula instead of breast milk. I mean, there's choices we can make.
I mean, sure, but I mean, in the long haul, you want what's best for him, and
right,
it's obviously breast milk.
Right. Obviously. Sorry, people, if you're one of those families out there that have to use formula, I'm sorry. Breast milk is better, though. There's lots of science behind it. I love you all. Okay, so, yeah, my next question was if you struggle with identity issues, but apparently you don't. Do you feel like, though, in the future as he, I mean, he's still kind of low maintenance for you at this point? Once he becomes, like, starts becoming a toddler and he wants to do things, games and stuff with you, do you feel like then it'll become kind of an issue because you'll have less time to do the things that you like to do?
No, because I feel like I would rather hang out with him in that sense rather than doing something without him, or, I mean, eventually include him in something. I'm not sure.
So basically he's become part of your identity is what you're saying.
Sure. I mean, obviously.
See, I love this. This is, okay, so guys, if you're listening, for moms, it took an entire podcast for us to figure out that our child is now part of our identity, and it's an entire issue we have to struggle with. For dads, it's like, well, duh.
Yeah. obviously, he's part of your identity. He has...
All right, men and women difference. It took us 50 minutes last week to do women. It took us 23 minutes this week to do men, so...
But I think it took, like, 5 minutes.
I just didn't ask the right question
if
right away.
You would have asked that right off the bat.
All right. I know. All right, well, then, since you've just wrapped that all up so nicely in a little bow, then, since we have you here, can you give us kind of a brief run-through of our labor?
Sure. Haven't you already done that, though?
I have done it, but, you know, I kind of want to get, like, the dad's view of the night on there, and you can kind of talk about anything that was stuck out at you as you weren't expecting or was exceptionally difficult or was cool. I don't know. I just want to see.
Where do I start? Water breaking?
Sure, or? You can start with my water breaking. That's kind of where everything started. So, well, and up before that, just a reminder to everybody, we did take a 5-week class that we went to once a week, Monday nights. It was 2 hours.
It was
2 hours. And so that was kind of our prep for labor. So, yeah.
So, I mean, it's time to go?
It's time to go.
Okay. Tilt more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Get all in close out. Here. We can smooch later.
You can edit that out, right?
No way. Okay. Should I? Okay. I'll edit that out later.
Let's see. So, the night that your water broke, we had just gotten into bed, and I remember you saying something, and I had just fallen asleep, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't believe you.
No.
And so then I got up, and you definitely weren't lying. So you wanted to clean up the mess, but it was time to go. If I would have known he was going to take his time, I would have stayed and cleaned up the mess.
So what was going through your head when, because you were like very adamantly trying to get me to leave the house, and I kept trying to like put on dry clothes and...
Oh, well, I just knew there was really no point in putting on dry clothes because you were going to keep getting wet, and eventually you'd be at the hospital, and you wouldn't even be in those clothes anyway.
See, and I was worried about the car.
Yeah, I know. So, we had bags packed already, right?
Yes. Me, overachiever, and uber-prepared
OCD
person, bags packed, yeah.
We drove to the hospital. It was a little past midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And we got there and checked in and did all that stuff, and I forget what they did. They swapped you or something to make sure that it was
your water or something. Yeah, they gotta make sure it's the amniotic sac fluid stuff.
And so once they...
Not just pee running down your leg.
Once they confirmed that they did, they told us that we were staying. I feel like you weren't even having contractions at this
point. Yeah, not really. They weren't all that great.
I can't remember if I tried to take a nap then or not.
You did.
I feel like I woke up around 5 or 6. Your parents got there at 2 or 3 in the morning?
Yeah, I don't know any times of anything because I didn't have a phone or anything, and I honestly didn't notice any clocks. I mean, I know there was a clock in the room, but I never paid attention to any of that.
So I think your parents got there at 2 or 3, and I had texted my parents, and I think they responded, but then they fell back asleep or something.
love you.
So I think I woke back up around 5, because I think you started going through harder contraction at that time. I remember walking through the hospital a couple of times early in the morning, because they said that was supposed to help or something.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I thought it was pretty... I didn't think there was anything really out of the ordinary, or... I mean, obviously, it was my first experience at a hospital for a child of my own, out of the ordinary.
Have you been at the hospital for other children?
Not while they were being born, no.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
So, I mean, I feel like, for the most part, outside of it being a little long, it was pretty normal for a while.
Well, I mean, there was the part where we
got
dilated.
Get to that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Thought maybe you were just rushing to the end already. I'm like, dang.
No, you tried to be tough and not get an epidural.
I did.
I
didn't either until, like, the very end.
Yep. You needed it, too.
Why did I need it?
Because you were in pain.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you... I don't remember when that was. I feel like the first pushing was at, like, 2.
Yeah, that sounds right. I think we pushed from, like, 2 to 3 the first time.
And the whatever part of you got swollen.
The next morning, by the way, right? No, afternoon. 2 to 3
in the afternoon. Yeah, because he almost went a full day before coming. So they've got the things on you, and the first time I got nervous while we were there, well, not nervous per se, but was a little worried, was when you started to push for a while and then got swollen and then they told you to stop. And I just remember, like, every, like, 2 minutes I was looking up just to make sure his heart was still beating.
Right.
Because I had no idea what was going on, really.
Which I think is weird, because I remember they talked about in the class that they said once you start pushing and their head gets down in there, in, like, the birth canal, that you basically, you have minutes to get them out, or you have to do a C-section. So how, I've always been kind of...
Never fell down, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess he just wasn't down far enough. That is odd. Sorry.
So there was that. So then there was the time from 3 to, I'd say, around 8 o'clock, which was just a bunch of standing around and you being in pain. You got the epidural, I think around 5 or 6. And then I remember around 8, you took a little nap from like 6 to 7 or something like that.
Yeah, I got a tiny nap in. What was it like watching me get the epidural?
It was like watching anybody else get shots.
I mean, here comes this guy with, like, this long needle right at your wife's spine. Was there, and I was, like, having a contraction while he was doing it.
I mean, it was a little worrisome, but, I mean, I trust the doctors. That's why they get paid big dollars. because I couldn't do it, so.
No, and Brad did a very good job. Brad, if you're listening, you were amazing. Thank you, Brad.
Uh-huh. No, he was very, you could tell he's very meticulous, but he was quick.
Thank God.
No, I was never really worried. I mean, I don't really hear about too many issues with it when it's being applied. I hear about the side effects after.
Right.
So then at 8, I remember them telling you it was almost time to push again. So we told all the family, because by then most of the family was there.
Did you leave at some point to get food or something?
I left about an hour after they said that you were back to a 7 and that you needed to get some, I forget the drug now.
Codeine.
No, sort of like a pee or something.
Pitocin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that you needed some of that, and that it wasn't going to be for a while. So I went down to the I didn't go to the cafeteria. I went into the town and got lunch.
Did you hear that, everybody? He left me at some point.
I did.
I'm very disappointed in you. I honestly didn't realize that you left. I thought you just,
exactly,
like,
and yet you're still disappointed in me.
Because I was so tired that day. Honestly, the entire day to me is this enormous blur. I thought your parents went and got you food and brought it back to you. I can't believe you left. I'm like,
I was tired too.
Oh, did you hear that, everybody? He's tired too. Wow. All right. Yeah. Next time you can deliver the enormous kid with the enormous head. Okay, love you. Anyways.
Yeah, that's where I was getting to. Hey, buddy.
Here, our awesome cat. He's hungry. We haven't fed him yet. Poor thing.
So then I don't remember too much from the pushing, honestly. I remember...
The second time pushing?
Yeah. I was on your right side. There was a nurse on your left side.
You were helping fold me in half.
But yeah. Dr. Rosbach was obviously...
Rosbach.
Under center. and I just remember you pushing a lot, and you were getting very tired. And I remember a nurse pushing down on your stomach.
Oh, yeah. That was awful. They used the vacuum on him, remember? They used the little vacuum.
I remember I got scared one time because it, like, disconnected as she tried to pull it out.
I remember that.
But she said that's what it was intended to do if it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
So then I remember finally him crowning. Is that the term for
yeah.
it? I remember him starting to crown.
What was that like? Did you, like, get to see everything? I was sad because I wanted a mirror down there, and I totally forgot to ask for one.
See everything, everything being what?
I mean,
I
like,
saw a lot of blood.
Okay, don't get graphic. But, like, you saw the head and everything coming up?
Yeah, I
you
saw...
You weren't, like, a pansy and didn't look...
I already stated on this that I'm not a pansy. Remember, I mean, it's pretty blurry for me, too. I remember a little bit of his head coming out. She couldn't get him out, so she snipped you. And then finally got the head out, and he was coming out. He was the wrong way.
Yeah, he was facing up, and then
His shoulder got stuck. And she had to do... The doctor did some maneuver. I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, she, like, got him out.
Yeah, some, like, European-named maneuver or something.
Oh, it had a name. I didn't even
yeah,
know.
Yeah, she literally wrote down on the log that it was... So she had to do some kind of maneuver to get him out. So, long story short, obviously, he eventually comes out. When he comes out, he looks like a little alien. I remember your umbilical cord was knotted in, like, 4 separate spots. But, yeah, he comes out. He's a little little purple alien. And the doctor...
With a very big cone head.
Very, very big cone head. And the doctor tells us that he's not breathing.
Scary.
Which is kind of scary, but she said he's going to be fine, so...
She was so calm.
Oh, yeah. So she had me come over and cut his cord. So I cut the cord.
Brave daddy.
I don't think that makes me brave.
I know. I don't know either. I don't know why it's such a big deal for some guys.
It's literally like cutting a rubber band.
Yeah. Did blood squish out everywhere?
No.
See, guys? Not a big deal.
It's like cutting a rubber band. No, it's like cutting a rubber band of tube pasta.
Awesome. This is the kind of stuff we wanted to hear on the podcast. Dad's perspective. What does the umbilical cord look like?
A rubber band. Of tube pasta.
That's what
it feels like when you cut it. halfway cooked. They take him and they put him in some little...
The warmer.
I mean, it's a warmer, but it had a different name.
Incubator?
No, it wasn't an incubator. And it's got this little machine, and I just remember them hitting his feet repeatedly and I asked why, and they said they were trying to make him angry so that he would cry. And they said that infants hate having their feet hit.
Yeah, I know when I took CPR, you're supposed to smack the bottom of their feet to try to get them to respond. Mm. So I think that's...
So they were smacking his feet, and they were rubbing him in blankets. You're being cleaned up, and you're trying to look over there. And I'm with you. And it felt like a long time, but it was only like 15 seconds, if that or whatever, and he finally cried.
Oh, it felt so much longer.
Yeah, it was like 15 or so seconds, because I hadn't even gotten over there yet. And so he cried, I cried a little, and I walked over there. He was really mucusy or watery or whatever, and so they were cleaning him up, and they had me take a few pictures of him.
And we were totally forgot about pictures.
I get caught up in the moment.
Such a long day.
So they're cleaning him up, and they're cleaning you up. That's about it. You passed out.
Yeah. Talk about the passing out. This so is interesting to me because, you know, obviously I wasn't there, coherent, so.
I don't remember how long it was after he was born.
It was when they were giving him his little bath.
No, it was when they were about to give him his first bath.
Yeah, and everybody had seen him and gone home already, so it was a couple hours. Yeah, because I was getting out of bed for the first time.
And so, he's about to get his first bath. I had just taken a picture of him with his head next to a little, like, hotel-sized shampoo bottle because I thought it was comical that that was bigger than his head.
Right. it's a little, like, Johnson & Johnson trial
and
size.
And then I remember either I was walking to the bathroom to say something or I heard something in the bathroom. I don't even remember. But you were passed out on the toilet. And the nurses were like,
Thank you for throwing that part in there.
Well, you had made it that far.
I did.
And the nurses were like trying to slap you awake.
I thought you said you were slapping me.
Oh, I did too.
Oh, thank you. So what, were you like really aggressive, like in my face? Is that why I remember my jaw hurting the next morning?
No, I don't think that was me. That's probably one of them. I think one of them was grabbing your face. So that was kind of scary, but you came too.
How long was it?
Were you fainted?
Yeah.
You were faint? 3 or 4 seconds.
No. How would you have time to, like, smack me and all that in 3 or 4 seconds?
It might have been longer. I don't remember. You just were gone. It was like someone flicked a switch and you turned off. That's it. That's the end.
All right. That's the end. Oh, so best moment of the entire day. Like, the moment that will live in your mind forever.
His first cry. Wasn't even really a cry.
I honestly don't remember.
He couldn't get it all out because of the mucus. Yeah. It was like
Oh, don't you wish we could just play it over and over again?
No.
No?
Oh, it was exhausting.
Oh, I so would play it over and over again. And I'm the one that went through all the pain and awfulness. All right. Is there anything else you want to share with us, Mr. Poteet? What is something you're really looking forward to being a dad?
What kind of timeline?
Anywhere. Just, like, what is the, like, something you're just really, really excited about?
Well, for a son, I'm excited to have someone to throw a football around in fall with.
Yeah, he tried one time with me. And you know, guys, I've played lots of sports. I am not hand-eye coordinated, okay? So don't think I'm just, like, this big sissy or anything. But he did throw it to me, and it, like, stubbed my finger, and it hurt really bad.
Very first throw.
And so now he won't play with me anymore.
But other than that, I'm really excited to take him to the Children's Museum just to watch him interact with stuff, but that's still a few months away at least.
Has been something that's been really fun now that he's kind of becoming mobile, or what's, like, exciting for you?
I mean, it's all exciting.
Oh, come on, it can't be all exciting to the dad. I get, like, excited just watching him, like, chew.
I get it. I think it's funny watching him chew, too.
It's kind of funny, especially with his one little tooth that's, like, popped out now, because he, like, looks like Popeye, and he's, like, got his little tooth sticking out. It's cute.
I don't know. It's just fun to watch him develop a personality.
Yeah.
Because for the first, like, 3 or so months, you could tell he was just indifferent to the world, but now he's learned what different things do, how to get what he wants.
Yes, I think it's hilarious how quickly they learn how to manipulate the world around them. So, overall, fatherhood, great journey, awesome journey.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Maybe.
No rush, right?
No rush.
No rush at all. So, do you think... I know you and me talked about this one night. Do you think being a dad or getting married, which is more intense?
Are you talking about just the initial, like, night of getting married and the initial night of having a child?
No. I'm talking about just kind of like the...
Having a child.
Yeah, just like the journey as a whole.
No, having a child.
Having a child?
Having a child.
Is more challenging?
Yes.
Why?
If you're doing it right.
If you're doing it right. Ooh, we just got really deep there. I like that. So why do you say that? Expand on that a little bit, and then I promise we'll let you go.
I'm in no rush. I just feel like a kid is better raised in a family unit, and so that's important to me. So I feel if you're making the time for your child, you're also making time for your wife or fiance or girlfriend or whatever.
So one kind of envelops the other.
Yeah. If you are taking on the challenge of a kid, then you should hopefully also be taking on the challenge of a spouse or a girlfriend or whatever.
Right, that other person.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very insightful. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, this has been our first official special guest, and I'm sure we will have the Mr. Graham Poteet on multiple times. We'll space him out a little bit. His eyes are getting really big here. He's a little worried, but we'll space it out until we get to another awesome milestone that we want to talk about. But it's been great having you on, babe. Good job.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, guys, we're going to take a break, and I will be back with our mommy mantra and my parenting hack of the week. Stay tuned. Hey there, guys. We're back. Oh, that was a lot of fun. I always love doing fun, goofy stuff with my hubby. So I hope you guys enjoyed it and hope you guys picked up some awesome stuff. And maybe we'll get some more dads in our audience this week. And for those dads that are out there, I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. So our parenting hack for this week is an awesome, super easy craft. And I have to tell you, I found this cool activity, oh gosh, years ago. And I've done it with every class I've ever taught and with any group of kids because it's so easy and every single group of kids I've done it with have loved it. But I found it in like this old school, I think this book was like printed in the like 60s or 70s, and it has all these really cute, easy crafts and activities to do with kids. And so, just kind of a note, when you are in, like, your bookstore or whatever, and you see used bookstore, maybe, and you see these old-school books, I really love the old-school ones because they have some easy stuff. They don't have this huge, long list of things, and they're really quick and simple crafts and activities. So, keep an eye out at your local bookstores and see if you find anything. But, so this activity in the book, it was actually called Monster Toast, but I just call it Painting with Toast. And basically, it's super simple. What you do is you take some bread, any bread, doesn't matter. I like using white bread because the paint shows up better than like on your wheat or whole grain. But so we just take some white bread, and if you take milk and you add food coloring, you have paint. Buy yourself some new paint brushes. Don't use old ones that you've used in actual paint, because you're actually going to eat the bread later. So buy some new little dollar paint brushes. They don't have to be fancy. And just make all sorts of different colors of milk and let the kids sit and paint their bread. And then you toast it and they get to eat their awesome creation. It's super, super fun. And like I said, so easy. Chances are you have all those things at home, except maybe brand new paint brushes, which you can run to the dollar store. And the reason why it's called Monster Toast in the book, and I did do this with one group of kids. We did it around Halloween, and they loved it. You're supposed to paint like a monster face on the toast, and you toast it and Monster Toast. And I have this really cute picture of all the kids. They all made these scary faces on the toast, and we toasted it, and they all like held their toast up in front of their face, and I took their picture. It was so cute. But super easy activity, and it's really fun. And then you can put whatever you want on top of the toast. You don't taste the milk and food coloring at all. It just colors the bread. So super easy, super fun. You can, obviously, if you like get the bread so soggy that it's falling apart, you're not going to be able to toast it. So, make sure you explain that to some of your little kids if they're participating, but it is really fun. And I have seen, some people too, where they paint the bread and then they use the bread to kind of be a stamp, and they take what they painted on the bread and stamp it onto paper. So you can do that and then toast the bread. There's a couple different things you can do, but all around really fun, really easy activity. And that's our parenting hack this week. I will try to get some pictures of it up on the blog this week so you guys have something to reference and look at. And then it'll definitely be on Twitter or Pinterest so you guys can pin it or favorite it and save it for later. Save it for one of those rainy days when you need something super quick and easy fun to do at home. So what is our awesome mommy mantra this week? And I guess that's kind of a little leaving out our dad's mommy mantra, but you stay-at-home dads that are listening, you're mommies too. So our mommy mantra this week comes from Helen Keller, and I think it's so great because it just wraps up
wraps up what we've been talking about the past 2 weeks beautifully, and it's actually this really pretty watercolor picture, so I'll definitely get it on Twitter so you guys can look at it. It's really pretty. And here is the quote. "What we have once enjoyed, we can never lose. All that we love deeply becomes a part of us." So just like my husband Graham was saying earlier, our son Hunter is now a part of him. He's a part of me. He's what we love, and he is our part of our identity now. So I'll read it one more time for you. "What we have once enjoyed, we can never lose. All that we love deeply becomes a part of us." Thank you, Helen Keller. I hope you guys have had a great week and had a good time listening and enjoyed some of the banter. We'll definitely have him on again sometime soon. So everybody take care, have a great week, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.